It is a great joy to be with you here this morning at St. David's, Moreton-in-Marsh. And thank you for your prayers and your financial support for us through these years. Now, you're in a series on prayer, and Gareth asked me if I would preach on Matthew 9, which is focused on mission. So this is quite appropriate for today. It's Jesus' call to prayer for laborers in his harvest. But if you notice in verse 35, if you see in verse 35, Jesus was preaching the kingdom and healing. This was the context. And if you look back at chapter 8, Jesus was healing the person with leprosy. He healed many. He calmed the storm. This is part of God's kingdom as God's control comes over the whole earth. And this is God's big picture. This is God's big plan that he establish his kingdom, his rule on earth. And Jesus inaugurated that kingdom. It's already among you, Jesus said, as he raised the dead in chapter 8. He healed the bleeding woman, the blind and the mute. Could see, could speak. This is God's control, God's kingdom coming. So the gospel is not just that Jesus died for our sins. He died for our sins in order to reunite us with God and bring us under God's lordship. He is the Lord of the whole earth. And as we accept his lordship, so that's what the first disciples, they preached, that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Lord. Will you take him as your Lord? This is God's kingdom coming. John Piper says that missions exist because worship doesn't. So few of those that God has created actually worship him. And this should be the primary motivation in our mission, in sending people, is that people will come to a place of worshiping, accepting God as Lord, come into his kingdom, and thereby honor God. So that should be our primary motivation. But the verses that we are reading this morning, and Jesus' emphasis, is on the fact that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers is few. The needs of the people. This was the focus of Jesus. And so there are three items I want us to look at in this passage. Why do we pray? Who do we pray to? And what do we pray for? So first of all, why do we pray? Well, from the passage, Jesus tells us to pray. So we pray because Jesus tells us to pray. But why did Jesus tell us to pray? It's because he had compassion on the people. When he looked over the crowds, he had compassion on them. But why did he have compassion on them? I want to suggest three things, and they're in the passage here directly. First of all, he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So the simile of a sheep without a shepherd would have been very much understood by Jesus' audience at that time because many were shepherds. There were so many sheep. But sheep without a shepherd could easily be scattered. They were vulnerable. They could easily be attacked. They were helpless. They couldn't find their way home. And when we think about that, maybe we know of people even here in our own family, who in a sense is like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had compassion. These were people that were lost because Jesus is their creator. All things were created through him. And here they are, just like a parent. If your child is lost, the compassion. And Jesus felt that thirst within, a deep longing within him that these people come back to himself. Compassion, the word compassion comes from two Latin words, com and pati. So anguish together, Those are the two literal words for compassion, that feeling anguish with or suffering with. And this is how Jesus felt as he looked upon the crowds. In Bangkok, we live in Bangkok, so we're like in the big city where you see all the tall buildings. And we live in an apartment building, and we live on the 10th floor. And I sometimes look out of our window, and I can see all the buildings, and I start to pray for the people in the buildings. But I can't see the people. I can't see the anguish that's going on in their lives. But God does. God sees all the anguish. He sees all the violence, the suffering, the hopelessness, sheep without a shepherd. And his heart is broken when he looks out upon the people. This is compassion. Dr. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, he wrote in his Bible, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." And I want to suggest this morning, before we pray for the Lord to send out workers, we should pray and ask him to work in our hearts compassion for those that are like a sheep without a shepherd. I'm sure we feel it if this is a member of our own family, but even more when we see vast nations who still are yet to come to the Lord. The second reason why he said, because the harvest is plentiful. The emphasis here in this passage is on the size of the harvest. But in John chapter 4, we read, "Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." In John 4, it's about the readiness of the harvest. In this passage, it's by the size of the harvest. And when we went to Thailand 46 years ago, it was known that there were more temples than there were Christians. The need was so great. But now it's amazing how God has been planting, he's been sowing, he's been tilling the ground, and the harvest is coming in. And every 10 years, we're now seeing a doubling of the growth of the churches. So the number of Christians has doubled every 10 years for the last 40 years. And not only the number of Christians, but the number of churches. And most churches are very keen to plant out other churches. The harvest is plentiful. When we first went, most Thai would say, "I'm Buddhist. I'm a Thai, and therefore I'm Buddhist." But now there's much more openness. The harvest is ready. Just to give you one illustration, a man named Dio. He is an expert artisan at making idols for the temples. And the bust of monks, revered monks, so that people can worship. And often the spirits involved, the spirits are incorporated into the idols that he would make. And he was so famous throughout Thailand that universities would request that he comes and teaches the students the art of sculpting on these sacred images. But one day he saw a cross and Jesus on the cross. And he was so intrigued by the intricacy and the beauty of this cross and Jesus on the cross. And he wanted to know, who was this man on the cross? And so he asked a friend and he said, "Well, for sure, that's a Christian symbol. And I know that there's a Christian church down the road. It's in a house, but there's a cross on the building. Go and ask them there what it means." And so he went and he was told exactly what Jesus did on the cross for him. And he started to think that here am I making idols, that people are worshiping the idols that I make. I should be worshiping the one that created me and died on the cross for me. And so he became a Christian and asked to be baptized. And then his mother got baptized too. And now he's studying the Bible and he's helping to serve in the church. The harvest is plentiful. God's harvest is ready. People are wanting to respond. But the third reason that Jesus tells us to pray is the workers are few. Those that will work in the harvest to reap them. Paul says, how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And so we need to be sending people into his harvest. Just for the current state of world mission, there are now 8.2 thousand million people in the world, of which 5.6 billion are still not a Christian. And out of that, 70%, 3.4 billion, are out of reach of the gospel, meaning that some people, they don't believe, but they have the opportunity to believe, like many in England. They have the opportunity to hear the gospel, to come to church. But there are many in the world, and especially those in the 10, what we call the 1040 window, that many in those nations are in people groups where they would never hear the gospel unless somebody actually went into that group to preach the gospel. They're not going to hear it from their neighbors. They're not going to hear it on the news. It needs somebody who will actually go into that situation in order to share the gospel. And so you would expect that we in the West, or those in already established churches, would be prioritizing sending people to these groups of people. And our money that we give, that we prioritize the giving. But the reality is that 98% of what we give actually is used by ourselves, or else used where the gospel has already been preached or already reached. Only 2% is going to where the gospel has not yet come. And this is a challenge to us. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. How can we invest in sending people into these places where the gospel is needed most? So who do we pray to? It should be who do we pray to, sorry. In our passage, Jesus doesn't tell us to pray to our Father in heaven. In other places, he does tell us to pray to our Father in heaven. But in this passage, he tells us to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And the thing that we need to remember is that it's not our mission. It's God's mission. We call it the Missio Dei. It's not our mission. It's God's purpose. God is the Lord of the harvest. He is responsible. So often we make his mission our own. And we forget that actually he is the one in control. It's like if you're a worker in a restaurant, your job is to do what you're told, to serve the tables, to make sure the customer's happy. But it's the owner's responsibility to care for the upkeep, the finance, making sure that the supplies are all in order and so forth. Just to share briefly, my own failure in this, when we first went to Thailand, it was almost like it was Missio Steve. It wasn't Missio Dei. It was my God. I knew God was sending me, but for some reason I was making it my own mission. And I was really reaching the point of being burnt out and disappointed that all my efforts, and I put all my efforts into, especially the first 4 years of serving in Thailand, until the Lord really brought me to the end of myself and made me realize I have to walk by faith, the faith that it's his mission. He will lead. He will guide me. My responsibility is to be sensitive to his spirit and to do what he tells me to do. And that was a real turning point in both of our lives and in the ministry that we have up until today in Thailand. So we pray to the Lord of the harvest. We recognize he is the Lord of the harvest. And we don't take on burdens that we're not supposed to take on ourselves, but we're to cooperate with him as the Lord of the harvest. But then what do we pray? Well, here it says to send out workers into the harvest field. And like with anything that we're asked to pray, we have to be willing to be the answer to our own prayers as well. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, make your name holy. Hallowed be your name. Make your name holy. We have to be prepared for him to be holy in our own lives. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we have to be prepared to seek God's kingdom. When we pray, forgive us our trespasses, we have to also say, as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. We have to, when we're praying, Lord, send out laborers into the harvest, we have to be like Isaiah, in a sense, Lord, send me, if that's your purpose. And in fact, in my own testimony in becoming a missionary, I never thought that I would be a missionary. I just wanted to pray for missionaries, and I joined an OMF prayer meeting in order to pray for missionaries working in various nations. And some of the missionaries came to visit that prayer meeting, and I saw that, wow, missionaries aren't extra special people. Maybe it's possible that one day God could call me to be a missionary. And that was the beginning of opening my heart. Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, Lord, I'm willing. So praying for missionaries, we're willing for being whatever God wants us to do too. Notice here, it's on laborers or workers. Send out workers into the harvest field. Israel had many shepherds. They had leaders, but in Ezekiel, God condemns the leaders because they weren't working for him. They were working for themselves. They weren't working for God's purposes. And so we pray to God to send out those who will work, who will labor, which means that they're already workers before they're sent out. It's no good us thinking I'll be a worker when God sends me overseas to Thailand if I'm not working for him now, here. And God's compassion isn't just for those in other countries. His compassion is for us here too. And so the challenge for us this morning is, are we all workers for him in the way that he's put us, where he's put us now? I would hope that we could all sense God's calling upon our lives. I know that God's called us to labor for him in Thailand. But if God hasn't called you to Thailand or hasn't called you to Mongolia or some other place, where's he called you to? And it must be here, if you're living here. It's not just so that you can have a nice place to retire to, which it is. It's a beautiful place. And we've lived in Moreton in Marsh for a short while with our son when he lived here and visiting the villages and towns around. It's a beautiful place. But if God has placed you here, therefore he's called you here. And as we sense that God has called us, then we can be sure that God will use us where we are, in our own family, in our own neighborhood, those that he's put around us. I just want to finish by commenting on the last verse. I added another verse to the reading in chapter 10, verse 1, which is a continuation of what we've been talking about. He called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Just notice, we've been talking about God's calling, that he will send us out as laborers into his harvest. When he calls, he sends. And when he sends, He provides. He's the Lord of the harvest. He will provide every need. When we went out 46 years ago, this was on our wedding day. I had hair in those days. But when we went out to Thailand, there was nobody who had guaranteed to support us in financially. Many were saying they'd pay for us. But financial support. But we knew God had called us. And so we stepped out on the basis of God's calling and working directly with a group of Thai churches and now directly with a seminary. We don't have any missionary society, but we work in cooperation with many missionary societies in Thailand. But we can honestly say that since we went out 46 years ago, God has provided all that we've need, and he's still providing up until today. God's faithful. He is the Lord of the harvest. And so, just in summary, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus' compassion for the lost, those like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, sometimes we think of those in our own family that are like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, we pray that your compassion would fill our hearts, that we would groan with you, that we would have a word in season where you've placed us, that we'd be assured of your calling and sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit as we seek to be your workers, to share the gospel, to disciple those who come to know you. Lord, help us to be those people. And if you're calling us, Lord, to another place, Lord, make that very clear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.